Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Waiting to send you to Florham Park, the Jets facility, for Aaron Rodgers' introduction to the media as Jets quarterback. It'll be momentarily, and we'll get you there momentarily as well. And Bart, let's just get to it, because it is, Bart and Han, it is hour number three, and Aaron Rodgers is about to speak. So what's that all mean?
It's the Rodgers hour, hour. He better have a Rumpelstiltskin suit on.
Yeah.
Take off that hoodie, baby.
He walked into the facility today wearing a Jets hoodie and a backpack and just chilling. Sneakers, all that. Haircut nice. Looking handsome as always. And he'll be walking in momentarily. We'll get you to that. This is in the theater. Like, is this the theater room?
Is this the Super Bowl? No, it's the meeting room. That's where all the players, that's where
seats about what? How many? 200?
Yeah, a little bit more than that.
More than that?
Yeah, yeah. This is, that's also where Saleh every day addresses the team, offense, defense, special teams. That's
where
special teams.
So a couple hundred capacity.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would say 300.
It's almost filled with media.
Yeah,
almost
man.
Filled. Filled with media.
Some of the people from the night retreat in the black hole he came out of.
I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of media for this. It's obviously a big deal. And to have it in a place like that still is a pretty amazing thing as well.
This is,
and so he's going to address the media. And I think, look, to hear about what he wants, what he looks forward to doing with the Jets, something that Joe Douglas said yesterday on the K-Show that I thought was interesting was that in the brief time they talked to him, they got the sense that he was far from done, that he's energized by this move, and that it is something that, like, you know, this sense of this will be a one and done. I know someone's going to ask him, do you have plans to play beyond this season? I'm curious to see how he handles that question.
Well, a pro would say, I'm going to assess. I assess every year. I've been year to year for the last couple of years, but all the great ones are year to year. When you get to a certain age, you have to see if the rewards is worth the risk. Right, so like Peyton Manning, same process. Tom Brady, same process. I mean, you look at a lot of things. It's not just for quarterbacks. It's every position has the same assessment. I mean, how many years did we talk about Andre Whitworth? Will he come back? Jason Kelce, he's supposed to be retiring for the last 2 years. Right? We thought he was going to retire after last year. He decided to come back for this year. He had to make the announcement that he was coming back.
With Whitworth, with Kelce, these are guys that were with that organization. Like, they've had him for a couple of years. This is, we got you for 1 year. Will we have you for more than 1 year? I guarantee you, asked, that'll be it. Okay. Let's go now to Florham Park and hear from Aaron Rodgers.
I wanted to go over a few particulars here after we have some remarks. From the stage here from Mr. Johnson and Aaron, we'll open up the Q&A. What we do ask is when raise your hand. We'll call on you. When you get the mic, please introduce yourself and your affiliation. After the Q&A, we'll do a photo op here at the top of the stage, and then we will break down for one-on-ones. So let's get going. Pleasure to bring to the stage the chairman of the New York Jets, Mr. Woody Johnson.
Thanks, Eric. Good afternoon, everybody. How are you all doing? Really good. This is a happy day for my brother and I, for the organization here, and especially for the Jets fans all over. The fact that we're here today is really a testament to what's been going on here and what the coach and the general manager and the staff has built over the last 2 years. The culture that enabled us to attract somebody of the caliber that we're looking at right now, Aaron Rodgers, a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer. Aaron is a tremendous player, is an understatement. And he makes everybody around him better. And we're so happy to have him. We are delighted and happy. We couldn't be happier to have him as a New York Jet. I'd just like to have a round of applause right there. Welcome to New York, Aaron. We're glad to have you.
Thought you were supposed to shake my hand. Yeah. I want to say thank you to Christopher and Woody for bringing me here. Obviously, Coach Saleh, Joe Douglas, my agent, they've done. This is a surreal day for me. After spending 18 years in the same city, it's been a lot of introductions today and meeting a lot of people, but there's a lot of excitement. I'm here because I believe this. I believe in this team. I believe in Coach Sala. I believe in the direction of Joe Douglas. Obviously, he's drafted really well the last couple of years, having the offensive and defensive rookie of the year. But big thanks to the Jets organization. Obviously, a big thanks to the Green Bay Pack organization for an incredible run. That chapter is over now, and I'm excited about the new adventure here in New York. So I'll open up to questions now.
Okay. You can raise your hand. We'll get you. Right here.
Hi, Aaron. Welcome. Congratulations. Tina Servasio from Fox 5 New York. So you mentioned the draft just now, and you believe in the direction that Joe Douglas is taking the team. But what really attracted you to make you start thinking that the New York Jets would be the next team you would play for?
Well, they smoked us last year, so I knew they had a good team. We got to practice against them a couple years ago, and I got to get to know Robert a little bit more. And I've always loved what he's all about. We played him in San Fran a few times, and mostly they got the best of us. But I liked the way that he was leading, his coaching style. A big reason I'm here, I got to mention, is Nathaniel Hackett, who's here. Hack and I became really close friends for three years in Green Bay, and I love him like a brother, and I believe in him, and I'm really happy to be back working with him again. Obviously, Joe has got a great track record so far of drafting some incredible players, but it takes a system, and obviously Robert has the right sauce, so I'm excited about getting to work with him and Brick and Mark Kwan, former teammate of mine, and it's a great staff. But you know, I'm an old guy, so I want to be a part of a team that can win it all, and I believe that this is a place we can get that done.
Right over here, Rich.
Hi, Aaron. Rich Cimini, ESPN. It's been about six weeks.
Rich.
Hey, it's been about 6 weeks since you said on McAfee that you wanted to play for the Jets. So I'm just curious, what was it like? This process lasted a pretty long time, longer than people expected. What was it like for you waiting the 6 weeks? And was there any point where you thought maybe that this trade would not happen? And when did you know for sure that you were going to be a Jet?
Not really. I believed it was going to happen the entire time. Just a matter of, I think, waiting each other out. My intention coming out of the darkness was to pursue this opportunity. And I enjoyed the meeting with, you know, Woody and Christopher came out. These two guys, Hack, Jaime, and I just got a great feel with all those guys about the possibility. And as I leaned into it, getting back into some more strenuous workouts, I just really believed that this was where I was supposed to be. A lot of things had to come together. And I believe there was some major synchronization to make this happen. But I'm excited about the opportunity here. I always believed this was possible. And things moved pretty quickly on Monday, and thankfully I'm here now.
Bruce.
Aaron, Bruce Beck, NBC4 New York.
Hey, Bruce.
Welcome.
Thank you.
How driven are you to win for this fan base, which hasn't been to the playoffs since 2010, the longest stretch in professional sports for the four different leagues right now?
I mean, it's exciting. The Jets have an incredible, passionate fan base. I saw that last year at Lambeau. Obviously, you know about Fireman Ed and you know, his passion for the team. I think that's an exciting draw to this as well, as being a part of something special. I grew up watching old VHS tapes of the Super Bowls, and so obviously I know about the Guarantee and Broadway Joe. Been a while since then. I noticed walking in this morning that Super Bowl III trophy is looking a little lonely. So,
Bry.
Hey, Aaron. Brian Costello, New York Brian. Post. In your view, is this, you're here for 2023 and then we'll see what happens? Or do you view this as more than a one-year thing right now?
Yeah, right now I'm just going to focus on this season. And I'm excited about being here. I expect to be here for the duration of the offseason. And I'm excited to get to know my new teammates and the coaching staff and the organization. And obviously I have a background with Coach Hackett and that offense, but I'm excited about just diving in and being a part of this group and getting to know some of the names of my teammates. And also, I'm excited about working with all you guys. I've heard a lot about the New York media and excited to see what that's all about.
Matt Schneidman, The Athletic.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Aaron. So you obviously said with Pat and AJ that you would have liked more direct communication about moving on from you. Then Brian comes out and says, we tried to, he just didn't respond. What actually happened this offseason between the two sides that led us to where we are now?
I mean, I don't know if I need to really get into the specifics. I will say people that know me, I'm fortunate to live in a beautiful house. The only downside is I have very limited cell service. So if you want to get a hold of me, I have to see your face. You got to FaceTime me. So the only response to the communication thing is there's, you know, records in your phone about who called you, when, FaceTime. And there wasn't any specific FaceTimes from any of those numbers that I was looking at. That's neither here nor there because we're in this position. Obviously, that's somehow, you know, what the direction they wanted to go as far as they couldn't get a hold of me, which led for this to be the case. My point was if there was a change that wanted to be made, why wasn't that told to me early in the offseason? Now, obviously, my future was undecided at that time. I didn't know if I wanted to keep playing. I wanted to go into my darkness retreat and sit with it and contemplate. But when I came out, it was evident that it was retire or move on to a new team.
Good. Right here. Aaron, Joe Messiri, PIX 11, over here.
Hi.
Hi. You mentioned thinking about retirement. I believe you said at one point it was like 90%. Yeah. So how much about it was the Jets specifically and what they had to offer? Was it the Jets or retirement? And how much are you motivated by the fact that Green Bay maybe wanted to move on or was ready to move on going into this season?
I mean, not really motivated by that, honestly. I'm very self-motivated, and I can find different ways to get that extra little inspiration all the time. It's when you get older, it's fun to go out and prove it each year that you can still do it. And that's enough motivation, I think, that I need. But this was a big draw because of the people you see on stage here, obviously Coach Hackett, the opportunity to be a part of a city that's hungry, that's a team, an incredible fan base that's hungry to win again. 12 years without the playoff, not, you know, Super Bowl wins since Super Bowl III. It's been a long time. So the opportunity to be a part of something special here, it's different. You know, it's similar to Green Bay in that way. When you win in a city like Green Bay, well, I assume for a team like the New York Jets, you go down in history, and there's something special about adding that to your legacy.
Josina.
Hi, Aaron. How are you? Josina Anderson, CBS Sports.
Hi.
Good to see you. You specifically said that right now you just want to focus on this season, but can you specify whether you were asked by Jets brass for a longer investment in terms of your time, given the resources that they're giving up to get you? And then can you specify when you plan on practicing and if that is before mandatory?
In the first part, there wasn't any specific conversation that I would like to share with that. Again, I'm an older player, so you know, there's a lot more than just the playing part. There's the body part that comes into play. But the reason I take care of myself is to allow myself to continue to play into my 40s. And I had always dreamt about being a starter at 40. I'll turn 40 in December of this year. But I'm going to be here for the foreseeable future. I think it's important. Obviously, I know the scheme that Hack's putting in. There's some tweaks. But I want to get to know the guys and be around the facility and obviously – you know, I haven't really spent much time in Jersey outside of Teterboro, so I'm going to get to know the area and figure out a place to live and all that stuff, and I want to be here to do that. So there's a lot of reasons to be here, most importantly, just to get to know the guys and put together some fun events to start that team building, which I think is really important this time of year.
Can you specify on practice real quick? When you plan on practicing?
Yeah. Does tomorrow count? Yeah. Yeah, tomorrow. I'll be in there tomorrow. Yeah.
Just go Antoine in the back. Behind you.
Hey, Aaron. Antoine Staley for the New York Daily News. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to know your motivation to continue to play at this point. Obviously, you said you were 90% retired once you went to the darkness retreat. So just what motivates you at this point to just to continue to keep going at almost age 40?
Well, it's joy. You know, you want to be having fun what you're doing. If you're not enjoying it, then it's time to do something else. And I think the opportunity to work with Nathaniel again, to work with Robert, to be around Joe, to be around the Johnsons and the vision they have for the team. I think the excitement of a new chapter has really been fueling my off-season workout so far and just the overall excitement level. I've mentioned the Jets fans, an incredibly passionate group. I'm excited to meet them, to play in front of them. But to be a part of something special is what keeps you coming back. And I think this is building right now. And what Coach has done the last couple of years, he's building something special the right way with the right values, the right type of leadership. And I think I can just fit in perfectly. I'm not here to be a savior of any kind. I'm just here to be the best quarterback I can be, to lead authentically and to inspire the guys around me to raise their level of play to an even greater spot.
Aaron, Zach Rosenblatt with The Athletic.
Hey, Zach.
you alluded to this before, but whenever somebody comes here, they talk about can he handle the New York media, the market, all that stuff. I'm curious what you think about moving to a big market like this and how you think the added attention, how you think you'll be able to handle that.
I'm excited about it. Definitely have heard a lot about the media. You guys have a job to do. You're very good at it. I'm excited about the opportunity to work with you all, to get to know you guys. And I've been in Green Bay for 18 years. That's a long time in a small town, and it's been great. I grew up in a small town. I think when you grow up in a tiny little town in Northern California, you dream about being in a big city. You know, you dream about living in a big city and, you know, having places to go eat and interesting things to do. And obviously with the city being 40 minutes away, you got a lot of that stuff. But I'm excited about the opportunity and look forward to meeting you all and starting a relationship.
Take a couple more.
Aaron, Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi. There's certainly a sense of deja vu here with a Packers icon coming to the Jets. I'm wondering, I don't know what your relationship is with Brett, if you guys talked at all about this and what, any idea of what to expect here? And then was there any hesitation on your part, I guess, making this same exact jump that the guy you've been compared to your whole career made?
Well, he had a legendary career. It is very ironic that our paths have kind of taken another step in the same direction. Brett and I, over the years, had talked about this transition and what it was like. But that was different coaching staff, different GM, different circumstances. I'm excited about the opportunity to work with these guys and my new teammates and coaching staff. But nice pictures there. Good job. Mm-hmm.
But
haven't talked specifically about this opportunity.
Aaron, Ian O'Connor, HarperCollins.
Ian?
Hey, Aaron. Just wondering, that there's obviously been a lot of conversation about how you can elevate the Jets, but you mentioned legacy earlier. What do you think winning a championship for a New York franchise that hasn't won one in decades would do for your historical standing in the sport?
Well, I mean, I don't really know about the historical standing in the sport. I think more from this organization standpoint, it'd be really special. There's some iconic names that have played here, probably none more iconic than number 12. And I heard what he said about unretiring his number, but to me, 12 is Broadway Joe, and I didn't want to even go down that path, and I'm excited about going back to my college number. But there's something special about playing in a city for a team like this with a storied franchise. And the, you know, obviously going way, way back to Super Bowl III, to be a part of something special would definitely help you go down in the history of an organization. Already have 18 years in an incredibly iconic organization, and it'd be fun to be a part of the history of this one as well.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. We will do the photo op right now and break down from one-on-ones. Appreciate everybody for coming. Thank you so much.
I was done.
All right, no. That, I mean, look, short, sweet, to the point.
Where's the suit? This dude showed up.
Nope.
in uniform.
He actually, think about it, the hoodie he had on.
Were more dressed up.
He took off and they gave him a golf polo.
Team issue golf polo. Same size.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot to take from this. A lot. And I love a lot of what he said.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to ask you.
Barstradamus told us, said a lot of this.
Yes, he did. What was the one thing? And again, 800-919-3776. We'll take your calls to react to this. What was the one thing that, like, you and I made eye contact several times throughout this thing when we heard different things he said. What was one, though, that really sticks with you?
Man, for me, he said he came here for the opportunity to win, that he believes, in my opinion, that this was a better situation than the situation that he was in. And we talked about this on the show, and I've been talking about this for a while. Something transpired when they were practicing with each other, that he saw the mannerism of Robert Saleh, how he talked to his players, how he encouraged his players. And then Joe Douglas did the work. He went out and he got a team and built a team that was young, that was cheap, that was on the cusp. And a great player like Aaron Rodgers can see, add me and stir, and we're good. And he alluded to that. They came out there and they smoked us. That's exactly what he said. They came out there this past year and smoked us, and he had to be looking like, ooh, I like Aaron Jones, but man, this Breece guy can give me a lot of space. Like, when you got a running back like that, when you got receivers like that, and he's not done playing resident GM. I think he'll be working hand-to-hand with Joe Douglas. And this draft has to be, yes, about the future, but it has to be about capitalizing on the present and getting Aaron Rodgers where he needs to be successful to win a championship right now. And, to the other questions about, how long is he going to play? It's going to be a year-to-year thing, but he did say that he was going to play well into his dream was to play well into his 40s and play well.
Yeah, see, he dropped
39.
That. It's funny. He dropped that. Always, one of my goals was to play into my 40s, and he's going to be 40 in December. So, into my 40s doesn't
40s, don't say
so
40.
So the answer that was – and Brian Costello asked the question. I knew it was going to be asked, and it had to be, and Costello from the Post asked the question, and that is, does he plan on playing beyond this year? And he said – and I thought – look, we'd love to hear him say, I want to go 5 years. Like, remember when Tom Brady said, I want to play until I'm 45?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to hear that. But he gave the right answer, because what you don't want to do if you're him is make a promise you can't keep. So his response was, right now, I'm just going to focus on the coming season. And he's right about that.
And he's talked to and listen.
But that doesn't mean that he's going to walk after this year. All he's saying is, I don't want to make a promise that I can't keep.
And he didn't shy away from the pressure. He said, man, that Super Bowl trophy looking real lonely.
Yeah, how about that stuff?
He did not avoid a championship.
Yeah, he made that abundantly clear that this arrival was not we'll see what we're going to do. He made reference to seeing the Lombardi in the trophy case and noting that it looked pretty lonely. He brought up Super Bowl several times. The other one that he said that I really caught my attention was when he said, I'm an old guy. I want to be with a team that can win it all.
Yeah.
And he feels like this is the place to do it.
And we've seen great quarterbacks, Joe Montana, John Elway, Peyton Manning, we saw Tom Brady. Yes, he can carry a team, but he does at this point. It's exhausting, and he much rather have some young studs that energizes him, and he's going to be energized by the enthusiasm and the energy of Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner.
Here's how you know.
You look at those guys, right? Mm-hmm. John Elway was carried by Terrell Davis, right? You look at Peyton Manning was carried by that great defense.
Mm-hmm.
He only has to be great when they need him to be. But he shouldn't have to have all that pressure on his back. It's almost like LeBron James right now and Anthony Davis.
That young Laker
is supposed
team.
To be the young team that energizes a older player. You can't be around a bunch of old guys when you're old. You're never going to get nothing done. Energy is going to be low. How you going to have energy if your whole team is a bunch of old dudes trying to get up and put Ben Gay when five guys that start need to take a day off because they're over the 30 and plus club?
It is interesting, because the other thing about energy that I also found interesting was a problem in Green Bay recently has been his absence during the offseason.
Yeah.
And what did he say that was – you brought this up many times. He plans on being here in New York for the duration of the offseason. And he's looking forward to – I love this one – to put together some fun events that he can hang out with his teammates.
I want to be one coordinator. I'm taking it. We going streaking in the quads. We going to Scarlet. Lemon pepper wings. Let me introduce you to the best lemon pepper wings. The best lemon pepper wings in the city.
But I just again.
But I'm being funny.
Yeah.
Right?
But I find that interesting that was always an issue with him in Green Bay, that he wasn't around. He didn't want to be around.
Who would have been in Green Bay?
And
it's Green
he's
Bay.
Making it a point to say, I want to get to know my teammates. I want to be around for this. He looked energized, and that's again everything you'd want to see. There's other questions I would have asked, but they cut it off at this point. They are doing individuals. Yeah. That's going on right now. And don't forget, everybody, he will be on the Michael Kay Show at 3:30, so the guys will get a chance to ask him some other questions as well. So come on. We're going to take just a short break right now. We're going to load up the calls at 800-919-3776 because we want to hear from you. Your first takes right now after hearing Aaron Rodgers speak as a New York Jet for the first time. And I'll tell you a couple other things that I was hoping to hear that maybe the guys on the Kay Show will ask him as well.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Reaction to Aaron Rodgers' first words as Jets quarterback, calling it a surreal day for him, saying that he believes in this team. I'm here because I believe in this team, he said, that he believes in Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas and the organization. Said that he's an old guy and he wants to be with a team that can win it all. Believes the Jets are that team. Mentioned Super Bowl several times, including noting that the Super Bowl III trophy in the trophy case looks awful lonely. Said he's going to focus on just this season for now, but did talk about how he's always wanted to play into his 40s.
And in a big market.
Enjoying the idea of playing in a big market. And also that he plans to spend the offseason, the duration of the offseason here in New York, and wants to work out and spend time with his new teammates to get to know them, which is, again, something that you did not have in Green Bay.
Who wants to stay in Green Bay with two Applebee's?
A couple of questions I might have also asked.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The first one I think I would have asked would have had to do with moving to the AFC. Now, I know you can ask that eventually,
but
it is interesting because for him, the NFC doesn't have a lot for him to worry about. AFC is going to be a gauntlet.
They still got his nemesis, which is the San Francisco 49ers in that whole operation. You still got
That's the team he struggled with.
You still got the Philadelphia Eagles.
The other thing I might have asked him as well here is about Zach Wilson and his relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And
have
you talked to him since deciding to do this?
Yeah.
I know that's all to come, but I like those two as just get to know what he would say about it, front of the mind kind of stuff. And to me, the Zach Wilson thing is also, I believe, for the Jets is a huge component in this as somebody that when Aaron Rodgers is all said and done as a Jet, what he leaves behind could be a much better quarterback in Zach Wilson than we ever expected him to be.
He gives you opportunity to right or wrong. And, you know, what we can do with your questions, we'll just forward him to the Michael Kay Show And we'll say, hey, we have some questions from some friends, Bart and Han.
Yep.
And they ask this.
Phone a friend.
Have you talked to Zach Wilson? And that'll be the questions from the Bart and Han show.
Okay.
We'll submit our two questions.
So we're allowed to submit a question?
Get, yeah, we're going to submit. I get to submit one. You get to submit one. And one of the questions will be, have you talked to Zach Wilson? And, you know, what do you think about him? And do you plan to mentor him a little bit while you're doing your job?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So let's get the calls from the fans now at 800-919-3776. How we felt about what we just heard from Aaron Rodgers. We might as well begin with Ira from Staten Island.
Yes, because he should, instead of saying Fireman Ed, he should have said Ira.
Yeah.
Because that's the face. That's our mascot.
Ira, you felt left out from that one, didn't
that's
you?
That's our mascot.
No, it's all
Ira,
it's
take
all
it. Okay. Ira, you are. Whether you want it or not, you're our elected number one fan, damn it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Fireman Ed ain't ever called no show. Fireman Ed don't pull up to everything. He's a front runner. Glory hole.
All right.
No. Listen, the fan base, everybody's great.
He quit on his twice, Ira.
Let me get the right.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you the truth. I was so impressed today. He answered everything with the right answer. And you know what? I got the impression this guy is a laid-back guy. And the thing I like the most, and I think Bart, you'll appreciate this. Since Namath, I haven't heard the word Super Bowl uttered from an owner, from a coach, from players, besides Rex. And it's so refreshing to hear a player as the stature of Aaron Rodgers to come here and talk about the goal is to win a Super Bowl, and you could actually feel good about it and that he's all committed. I think he hit a home run today.
Ira, he showed you with his actions that this was a Super Bowl move. This wasn't let me come to New York so I can work on my portfolio. This was, I saw this team. I practiced with this team. I saw the young talent that they got. I saw what they're capable of. Nathaniel Hackett here was a big part of that. I wanted to have fun. Like Tom Brady, he wanted to have fun his last couple years in the league. He didn't want to be underneath this pressure pipe that was New England. And now he went to Tampa Bay and it gave him a new lease being around new surroundings, the excitement of not knowing what to expect, not knowing where to live, learning a new city, enjoying a big market, being able to go to Broadway plays. Listen, we almost need the Knicks to end it in six just so we can introduce
five,
the metropolitan area to Aaron.
End it in five.
On Friday, he can sit next to Adam Sandler or Spike Lee.
Ira, Ira, just one last thing. You, I remember from conversations over the last couple of weeks to months, you did not really want this. Have you changed your mind?
The reason I didn't, it had nothing to do with ability. I wanted more than 1 year. That's the only thing that I wanted. Now, if they win a Super Bowl or get to a conference championship this year, that's great.
Right.
But listen, it played out the way it is. Ability-wise, there was nothing about on-field ability. The guy is a top-five quarterback of all time. So I'm glad he's a Jet. It's a good day for everybody. And hopefully you'll have him on your show live also.
We're going to get him, no doubt about that. But he's on the K-Show at 3:30.
Thanks,
thank you, Ira.
Thanks, number one fan.
All right, let's go to Lee in Brooklyn. Lee, how are we feeling after that? Lee?
Take us off mute, Lee. We can't hear you, son. Come on, tune in. Lee going once.
All right, we lost Lee. Let's go to Colin in Middletown. Colin.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Long-time Jet fan. Love you, Bart. I just kind of wanted to back up what you said about, like, when they did ask about the second year, how he's not really breaking a promise. He did kind of say, you know, that he's older. So, like, that was a, you know, kind of cool, you know, backing you up on what you kind of said about that.
Yep.
So super excited about it, man. Just can't wait.
Hey, that's the best way to put it. Thank you, Colin. David in New Jersey. David, how you feeling after that?
What's going on, boys? I'm happy, man. I'm just, man, it feels like my birthday, but it's not. I don't know, man. I just want to say I'm super excited about it. We can finally compete with the other teams, and I just can't wait for opening day. And tell them, Bart, just like Stringer Bell said, we back up.
No, we back up, baby. City
you,
boys up, baby.
Let everybody know. Maddie, Florham Park. Maddie, how you feeling here?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Hey, before I give my two points here, one quick question. Where does he live that he has bad cell reception?
Well, he say. Well, listen, you understand the valleys and the peaks, though, and sometimes you can live in these boondocks. I listen at my house.
Oh, well, you don't have listen, you don't have a cell tower in your neighborhood.
No, at my house in Mendham, we don't have BIOS. So like my internet is bad too at my house. I had to go have Verizon run an extra fiber optic line in. It's crazy. You remember when we first started this show?
I know.
I couldn't even get on. My internet everything kept dropping.
Yeah, no, he's not lying about that. You know, again, you know, they don't want those towers in those rich neighborhoods.
Yeah, so, they don't want that radiation over their head.
I'll
baby.
Tell you what, though, Maddie, I do think that's him just also tongue-in-cheek, right? Like, what he was basically saying is, don't text me. Like, I didn't see you. You didn't call me. I want to talk to you face-to-face. Show your face.
He said FaceTime, too. Yeah. So show your call log. Yeah. If you've been trying to reach out to me, put it out there. Show me that you called me. Show the people that you called me.
Yeah, and that's basically what he was saying there. So he was making it clear that he was never happy with the communication there with Green Bay. He had complained about it many, many times, and that was his one last shot at Green Bay. Thank you, Maddie. Tom in the Bronx. Tom, how are we feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm a Green Bay Packer fan my whole life, but I'm jumping over to the Jets because it's the summer of the Ocho. It's the summer of the Ocho. It's going to be – the city got juice. Aaron Rodgers is on fire right now. I like the fact that he's back with – he's back with Hackett, and I think he's going to crush any journalist that thinks he's going to catch Aaron Rodgers sideways.
Yeah, he's beautiful. He's pretty sharp. He's pretty sharp.
Yeah, he's sharp as could be, man.
Got an answer for everything. He knows that answer. But, Tom, you being a Packers fan means you've watched him a lot, right? You've watched their team. So you know them well?
32 years old, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. It's been a pretty good life, yeah.
Yeah, not a bad life at all for quarterbacks. So with that in mind, what you saw last year, is that him in a decline, or was there more to the story?
Number one receiver gone, offensive coordinator gone.
Broken hand.
You know, the locker room changed for him, and
broken hand.
That ain't him. That ain't him. He's going to make the defense of the Jets better because now they, you know, they're going to rest a little more. They got the dogs. He's going to walk into the place. Imagine Derek Carr. I mean, don't get me wrong, good guy, but his prayer circles are not the same as Aaron Rodgers' Super Bowl ring. You know,
good stuff, Tom. So, welcome to the Jets. Welcome to the fandom. Mike in Old Bridge. Mike, how are we feeling after that?
Bart, Alan, how you guys doing? I am elated. I mean, hearing that press conference was surreal. Like, some of those comments actually almost brought tears to my eyes. I'm a lifelong Jets fan. My parents had season tickets before I was born. I went to school in Rhode Island during Brady's prime Patriot years.
Painful.
It's just so. I mean, so I've just spent years hoping for this kind of moment to come. I am just, it's still unreal. Like, somebody pinched me, for real.
It's almost like the Knicks waiting for a star to come to them. Finally, the Jets have a star that chose them and saw that this team is ready to win a championship. He's here to win a championship, and he's seen championship teams. He's talked to some of his, you know, his peers that have made that move. He's seen what Peyton Manning did. He's seen what Brady has done. I'm sure he's well informed what a championship team looks like, and he has the wiggle room to still form this roster to put the best type of players to make him play at a top-notch level.
There's no question that he did not avoid using certain phrases that I wondered, would he dare go there? He absolutely did. Imagine having someone speak so confidently about, hey, you know what we're about to do? We're going to win a damn Super Bowl.
Now, when you think about it, right, if you're a player that's a free agent and you're an offensive player and you don't have the contract that you want, or you're a defense player and you're like, I got to reset my market. And the Jets have the money once they figure this thing out with the money that they have to pay. That's Hackett. Once they finish with the money they have to pay, and what they and once they go ahead and make the decision to start trimming the roster to get underneath the salary cap, and the contract's finalized, and Green Bay says how much they're going to pay, and the Jets say how much of the bonus that they're going to pay. If you're a player and you have a decision about where you want to go for 1 year. Why wouldn't you want to come to the Jets?
Yeah, you keep bringing that up. That's the other question I would have asked him is, have you been in touch with any players? Because we know he has. Yeah. Calais Campbell said he reached out to him.
Yeah, but the thing is,
Odell?
He ain't going to have to after this.
You think he's a magnet?
Wait till after this draft.
You think he's a magnet?
Wait till after this draft, guys going to be like, cut me. You just drafted my replacement. Cut me. I want to be traded. I want to be out. Guys like Buda Baker. Guys like, I want to be out. Dalvin Cook, I want to be out. Right? Guys gonna be like, nah. Y'all basically just drafted my replacement. I'd rather leave early and have a chance to win a championship. Guys that's contemplating retirement. Like, you know what? The Jets give me a call. What's up? I'm good.
Pay cut.
Watch. That didn't even happen yet. Remember with the Brady effect, how many people came over with Brady.
That happened in Tampa. You're absolutely right.
Look what happened with Wes Walker and all the guys coming over with Peyton Manning, too. Like, I already made a bunch of money. I ain't won no chip.
And when you win a chip here.
What?
Legendary. Joe in Jersey. Joe, what's your reaction to Aaron Rodgers' press conference?
You know what? Who is this guy? He's a fraud. He was so humble. He was like, I always thought of him as the most arrogant SOB I've ever, you know, in front of a microphone. And now here he is being all humble and in front of a New York media.
It's a life lesson, though.
Obviously.
But what's isn't that? It a life lesson? How many times have we thought had a perception of people? People think I'm an a-hole. And ask anybody that's ever worked with me or somebody that plays me from former Patriots that they thought, oh, we thought you were this. Mm-hmm. You're not that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just perception versus reality, because all we get to judge them on is what we see in the heat of battle.
Yeah.
This is his opportunity to answer.
But do you think that will, like, continue? No. Like, after yes. New York media has some, well, why just throw four interceptions?
No. First of all, he never throws four interceptions. First of all, that would be 35% or 33% of what he threw last year, which was a high. So, like, this is the thing. Like, he chose to come here. He knew what he was getting himself into. He's savvy enough to answer any question. I mean, how many times has Eli Manning said something that wasn't right? Never. Because he's well trained. You can ask me what you want. I get to answer how I feel. He never gets snarky. He might get a little, you know, sarcastic, but he's not gonna raise his voice. R-E-L-A-X, relax. That ain't losing your cool. He's not going to lose his cool under the pressure of the media, Rich Samini, asking him a tough question about him not winning a football game.
I'm sure there'll be times after games where he's
in a bad place.
You take an L and you just don't want to hear about it. You get a little frustrated with some of the questions that are asked. And that's,
ain't going to be no Kyrie questions. Ain't going to be no Kyrie explosion.
Yeah,
when you start telling, well, if you want to go play quarterback, ain't going to be none of that.
When it comes to first, you know, again, it's very difficult. Your first impression is so critical, right? You never get a second chance to make a first impression. His first impression with the Jets was a very good one. And you'll get more of a chance to hear from him on the Michael Kay Show at 3:30 today. You do not want to miss it. I'm sure the guys will have more questions for him and more of the conversation. And you know what? Again, the main thing is also just to let him know how much everybody's just happy that he's here. Because I got to let you guys in on a little secret. He's good for business. Huh. Let's be honest. This is good for all our business.
Have an ESPN
winning
coverage
is good for business. And I hate this. I hate to break this to you, but there are some people in our business who thrive on our teams losing because it allows them to carry on into this character of misery and despair. But that ain't good for business. What's good for business in this city is when the teams are good.
Bing bong.
Because we're all energized by it.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
And Aaron Rodgers is bringing that energy to the Jets, and they have been missing that for a long, long time. That's why.
I don't think the Jets fan base believed, not the first year Rex got here. They thought it was cute.
No,
it
year
was
two.
Year two.
Yeah, year two.
They
were
went
like,
in with expectations.
We're coming now.
Yeah, they're like, oh, they serious. We can believe. This ain't the same old Jets.
Right.
Oh, they went and got Plexico Burrow. Oh, they did this. Mm-hmm. Oh, they ain't playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, LT, Jason Taylor. Oh, hold up. They going for it.
Yep.
This is that same feeling.
And then some, because you got the most important guy,
exactly,
which is the quarterback. Yep. All right, we'll finish up with your calls. We do have to think, as I'm talking about, good things are happening right now. What's good for business? Can the Knicks close it out tonight in Cleveland? We've got to finish with thoughts on that.
Knicks in 7.
With you. How dare you?
I mean, Knicks in 6. I just want A.A. Ryan on the front.
I don't want to work Friday night. We'll get him for game one against the Heat.
You can bring Zach.
No, we got to go see the Islanders on Friday.
Spike. And A-Rod.
Zach will not come to watch the Knicks when the Islanders are playing a game 6.
Do he want to go to the Islanders game, or do he want to sit on a closeout game with the Knicks next to A-Rod?
Islanders game. You don't know. You know my son. He's a psycho. He'll tell me I'll go see Aaron Rodgers in the fall. I got business right now with the Islanders. That's what he would tell me. He's that loyal.
Game six closeout.
Son. That ain't how it works.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
And of course, you keep it right here because after their show at 6:30, you get a pregame show for Knicks, Cavs, 7 p.m. tip-off now. Note the start time. It is a little bit earlier than usual, 7 p.m. Knicks, Cavs, game five. Closeout game for the Knicks. The first opportunity for them to close out the series. Can they get it done on the road in Cleveland in game five when, as you know, Donovan Mitchell, under a lot of scrutiny, actually was criticized himself in the way he played in the two games over the weekend. What is it going to take for the Knicks to win this game? Bart, I believe it's going to take more of the same. Depth, rebounding, resiliency. You know that you're going to get the best effort out of the Cavs. Survival mode. That's what you're going to get. You would expect it. You're going to expect the building's going to be loud. It is a pretty loud building to begin with. But you've already played through all that already. What you need to do is know that, all right, punch is going to come, effort's going to come, enthusiasm, all that. They are going to bring it. But the question is, it's still a young team. Will they be a little tight? Will they be a little nervous? Will this be desperation but not necessarily a team that is confident? Because I don't see a very confident team. I see a team whose coach keeps trying to make changes, grasping at straws. We're going to try this. That didn't work. Let's try this. Trying to ride the hot hand. To win the game tonight, the Cavaliers are going to need not just Donovan Mitchell to go off. Somebody else is also going to have to play above expectation, like Caris LeVert did in game two. Someone else is going to have to show up. Is Isaac Okoro going to hit like four or five threes from the corner? It's not just going to be Donovan Mitchell went for 40 and they won the game. And I just don't see it happening. I think the Knicks have too many answers for them, and I think they understand the situation they're in. Win this game, don't mess around, end the series tonight.
But this is their first time as a group trying to close a team out, and I don't know if they can anticipate – what it's like to play a team that only has one life left, right? And, you know, you saw Boston kind of fight through that. We saw, like, the lack of maturity from teams that have teams on the ropes that hasn't been able to close guys out. Yes, been a couple, okay, like,
well, last night you learned your lesson from the Celtics, up 13 late. Now, they were home, different story. Yeah,
but they're not going to lay down. And I think the Knicks going to have to get used to that type of tenacity, and I think that's why I think they close out in game six.
You think it's going to – all right, so you don't expect them to win tonight. You're saying –
yeah, and this is a learning
15
lesson.
Seconds to go. You're not picking them to win tonight.
No, I got them in six. I just think that Donovan Mitchell, too much pride over there. They're going to be a desperate team. They have no tomorrow.
Okay. I did pick the Knicks in six, but I think it ends tonight. We'll see you all tomorrow. K-Show next.
Bing bong.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.